I'm Heather Roberts here with April Flint Gerner. She is the Child Welfare Director for Oregon's Department of Human Services. Welcome, April.
Hi.
And I think your name is so appropriate because April is Child Abuse Prevention Month.
It's my favorite month.
Thank you for taking some time with us today. We are going to be talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month, but more importantly, some things that Oregon DHS are doing to try and prevent child abuse in long term. This is not just a month long effort, right?
Absolutely not. This
So
really is about system transformation.
let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the key things that Oregon is doing that are actually different than what some other states are trying to do to combat this?
One of the things that we've been looking at, we have this unique opportunity to be one of just a few states in the nation who are really looking at what happens when you just meet families' needs. You need a refrigerator, you need your roof fixed, you've got something going on in your home that is actually, really connected to an economic or concrete need. You need transportation access, right? That we often see that, there's some upwards of, 70 to 75% of child abuse allegations in this nation are actually connected to neglect. And there is probably a really high percentage of that that is about poverty. And if we can help families just get access to what they need, then maybe folks aren't worried and calling the child abuse hotline in the beginning. And so Oregon has an opportunity to participate in a national effort that's sponsored by the Doris Duke Foundation entitled Opt-in for Children. And we're really blessed to be able to partner with Doris Duke because we're going to be able to just meet some of those needs. Doris Duke is going to help. Just get the refrigerator fixed or, whatever it is. And some of the other things that we're looking at is we've got data
That show that 90% of the calls that come into our hotline right now are not actually about child abuse. They're about community members who are worried about kids and families and they don't know where else to call. And so if such a high number of Oregonians are concerned about kids and it's not about child abuse, then we need to make sure
that we're creating
pathways for those families and
those concerned community members
to actually know how to get them the help that they need. So we're really working on what we're calling a community
community response.
response guide, something that if you go online and you're worried about a child, you actually get pointed to the resource that you need. That doesn't mean you can't still have a conversation with somebody at the Oregon Child Abuse Hotline, but what would happen if I just knew where to help little Timmy get a coat or help a family
They get
get access to food?
food, and we were just able to get it done and not wait for a call to be answered or for a child welfare worker to have to come knock on the door. And as much as my workforce wants to help families, that door knock.
That can be very traumatizing to children. So you talk about how poverty impacts child abuse reporting, but I want to make it clear though, it seems like poverty isn't a risk factor of child abuse, is it? I mean, people who are poor aren't more likely to abuse their kids.
That you are correct, not necessarily, but poverty makes things that all of us have to deal with in the day-to-day of life harder, right? If I am poor and I have a lack of access to resources, someone might look at my life and make a judgment call that my children are unsafe. And what they're really seeing is that I have a need. Or if maybe I need access to mental health treatment, but I don't have insurance. Right, then it makes it that much harder for me to go get help for the thing that's actually going on when outsiders looking at my life say, oh, I'm neglecting my children. And so, people who are experiencing poverty aren't more or less likely to abuse their children necessarily, but the way that society looks at people who experience poverty makes them so much more likely to experience systems that can often be traumatizing, although our intent is to be helpful.
Wealthy people also, unfortunately, can abuse their kids.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clarifying that it doesn't, economic status isn't the risk factor, but it's the thing that might draw a state agency's attention.
It's the thing that
Okay.
draws the community's attention. And often you see, even in wealthy communities, where the same kind of abuse or even neglect might be occurring, if they've got access to resources to help it prevent the thing from becoming a crisis, or they can get help, or they can, make sure that a family member can come in, fly in and take time to watch children, those kinds of things, those protective factors that come along with having access to resources, often are the things that people calling a hotline are hoping that we're going to provide.
I want to make sure we have time today to talk a little bit about that hotline and how the public can get involved in being the eyes and ears of law enforcement, of Oregon DHS. What does the public need to know to make sure that we as a community are helping kids be safe?
I think there's a couple of key things. The intervention of foster care is very traumatizing to children and families. First and foremost, most people don't think about the fact that having a stranger knock on the door, entering foster care, sometimes is more traumatizing than the very thing that community are trying to help, right? And so it's really, really important as a community. If you can help a family, if you can help someone that you're worried about, just access something that they need, that is so much more helpful in the long run, sometimes than necessarily somebody from my child welfare system, making a call. I think some of the other things that are important are to remember that poverty doesn't necessarily equal neglect, and everybody needs help sometimes. And I do think that in our society, we struggle sometimes with that idea of just helping our neighbor out. And we really can't do it all. Child welfare, one of my mentors often says that child welfare is like the emergency room. Well, we don't expect that people are going to get housing in an emergency room, or that they're going to get, three square meals in the emergency room. They can actually just get access to those things outside of the emergency room, and maybe they don't need to go to the emergency room in the first place. And so when we're working together as a community to make sure that there are services, that there are resources, that we have caring community members that are not saying just what's wrong with you, but what can I do to help you? How can I make a call to a resource? How can I help you navigate? If you don't have internet access, how can I just get online and help figure out, is there something within our community that can help you? You're actually helping to prevent child abuse. At least how we define child abuse in our state, you're helping families avoid needing to come to the emergency room in the first place.
But there are instances of abuse. I mean, as you said, wealthy people also commit abuse. So we know what's going to happen. Even if we provide all of the needs, there are going to be unfortunate incidents. So what do we need to know? Who do we call? How do we know when to call and get help for a family that we worry is in trouble?
We don't want to discourage people from calling the Oregon Child Abuse Hotline. It's there for a reason, right? What we're trying to do is have additional resources within our infrastructure so that when a call comes in or when someone is reaching out and they don't know the difference, that we have human beings, social workers, people who are trained, to understand the difference between, poverty and neglect and child abuse and those kinds of things. To be able to have a conversation, what are you really worried about? And how is it impacting this child? And to be able to point them in that direction of, well, if it's just a resource need, here's the best place that we can get you connected to that resource. But if it's a child abuse issue, that we're able to go into a deeper conversation. So again, we encourage people to use things like 211. They know exactly how to reach us if it's an issue of child abuse and neglect. When we talk to law enforcement or when you talk to mandated reporters in emergency rooms, sometimes they don't necessarily know all of the best things to say, but they do have a good relationship with us, and we do encourage people to call the hotline. We're really trying to, again, build that infrastructure within our system so that community has pathways to go through that don't involve a child protective services worker knocking on the door.
In just the last 30 seconds that we have today, what is the one thing you hope Oregonians will take away from this month, from if this is the only month they think about child abuse prevention?
Thinking about how we mandatorily support families in our own community, strong, healthy, thriving, connected, and empathic communities, ending child poverty, making sure that families just have what they need absolutely can put a dent in our, numbers of children that have to unnecessarily experience foster care, we all are responsible for children in our community, not just the child welfare agency. And when we can find ways to just love on one another, ask how we can support one another, and create those safety networks around children, then maybe the call doesn't have to come to the line in the first place, and we can prevent some bad things from happening to kids.
April Flint Garner, the Child Welfare Director for Oregon Department of Human Services. Thank you so much for taking some time today.
Thank you so much, Heather.
You're listening to FM News 100.1 and 1110 KBND.